The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Do that again, sir.
I had a girlfriend. Her nickname was My Little Deuce Coop. She was a short little thing.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Nick.
It is a good morning.
Hey, before we get going, let's make Dad happy. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and KCNR1460.com. We've made Daddy happy. Let's move on.
Well, you know what they say, happy Daddy, happy home.
Something like that. You know, you and I were talking about marriage right before the show, and I just want our listeners to know that we have the recipe for a happy marriage, you and I, together. We make the happy marriage. We don't talk to each other for 2 weeks, and we make 1 hour of happiness.
That's right.
There you go. There's the secret to success to start the show.
I told somebody that, and they couldn't believe we're not on the phone every day.
Are you kidding me? I've got your phone number blocked. I've tried to block your email, but you put new ones in every time.
That's right.
So, Nick, we got a couple things happening around the world. We got tariffs. We've got Teslas being burned. We've got local activities. What are we going to talk about today to let our people know what's going on?
I've got a question for you. If tariffs don't work, how come every other country's got them on us?
Well, I was going to say that's the funny thing is in Pelosi and Schumer's eyes, tariffs were a great tool when there was Democrat presidents, and they advocated for them amazingly. And yet Trump does it, and it's the end of the world, and the world's going to come to an end. It's funny is I saw that General Motors was going to close some plants and lay people off. I suggest they do that. Close them all, because most of the jobs they were going to do was all green energy, electrical, new stuff that's going to die anyways because nobody wants it. He actually helped save them a ton of money. Because, I mean, they were closing down all these plants and forward thinking and green energy and EV vehicles. Nobody wants that stuff. So, I mean, I think Trump actually saved. It was a very brave investment move by Trump to have them close the plants and fire 14,000 people if the GM of GM or CEO of GM is actually true.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, I hear skepticism about the economy. It's going to get bad. We're going into a recession, on and on and on and on. And I just remember with Reagan, it was a starved to death show for a couple of years.
Well, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, we try to be honest with our people. We've been in a recession for 3 years. They redefined what a recession was so that they wouldn't have to say the R word under Sleepy Joe and Camel. But we've been in a recession with negative growth for 3 years. And now the stuff that Trump's picking up is the result of a lot of their policies, and his 3 months in office is not going to change the direction of the Titanic overnight. But we have been in recession. The key word that they're now trying to avoid is the D word. The D word. The depression.
Yeah, well, I see a lot of people look depressed. They're protesting on the corners because they might get their allowance cut.
Yeah.
It's our right to have all these benefits that we didn't earn.
That we didn't pay for. And, you know, it's like, what was it, Doge came out with the Social Security database, I guess, as it were. And 200,000, 200,000, and then 2024, Biden and the crew put on over 2 million illegal immigrants into the Social Security system who hadn't paid into it, but now are eligible for all kinds of benefits they didn't pay into. So, yeah, that to me is one of the things that I think is more concerning. Economies go up and economies go down. But it's the social fabric of society that's different this time.
Well, listen to this. We've got protesters that aren't even born yet. An initial survey of unemployment insurance claims since 2020 revealed the following. 24,500 people over 115 years of age claimed $59 million in benefits. We're talking unemployment. 28,000 people between the ages of 1 and 5 claimed $254 million in benefits. 9,700 people with birth dates over 15 years in the future claimed $69 million in benefits. In one case, someone with a birthday in 2154 claimed $41,000 in benefits. These people aren't even born and they're getting unemployment.
I can lay $1 million on the bet that they're all probably going to end up being liberals because they got paid to do nothing.
And they're not even born yet.
They're not even born yet. And they consider themselves entitled to it.
Somebody else is paying their way.
That's it.
Just like the two liberal shows here on KCNR, Common Grounds, Christian Gardner. Boy, they were hot and heavy for about 6 months till somebody quit paying their way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And then there was, what was it, Shasta Unhinged, Shasta Unleashed, a couple chubby gals in here thought they were everything and a bag of chips.
Huh?
They lost their funding. You don't see them anymore.
Well, then let's take a show break real quick. I'd like to thank the sponsor of our show, Nick Gardner. Thank you for sponsoring the show.
Mucho grande apprecioto.
Well, thank you. And then I'm the other sponsor. So there we go. We've thanked our sponsors, too. There you go. That's why we're on the show still.
Yes.
So we get Cool April Nights coming up this month, Nick. And what are you hearing on the streets? Are people happy with what's going on in the world?
You know, generally, this weather is what puts a smile on everybody's face. It certainly did mine.
Yeah.
And I was driving here, and I looked at Mount Shasta, and it's just a big white cone. And if that doesn't make you smile, nothing's going to.
I think I've said this on this show before, but I've had the pleasure of living around the world in a number of locations. And I say this when I'm doing my real estate, that I think we live in the most beautiful spot on planet Earth. We've got ocean a couple hours. We've got skiing. You got water skiing. You got lakes. You got mountains. You've got cities 3 hours away. We live in a pretty spectacular place, and our weather right now is the best.
One of the places I like to go up around Bartle, I was looking at the weather report, and tomorrow morning it's supposed to be 29 degrees. It's still cold in the mountains.
Yes.
Hey, Dave, are we pretty close with clip number one? I want to bring it up. I found my new best friend for the city council meeting, so let's hear it. His name is, I forget. He'll introduce himself. Let's go.
Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a Houston here? Apparently.
Houston's taking his time getting to the microphone there. It's pretty good what he has to say.
Hi there. I'm glad to go after Steve, and we're pretty much on the same, I think, mindset right now. My name's Houston Kalinowski, born and raised here in the city of Reading. I'm here to discuss our financial situation, a $157 million salary expenditure, and a $5 million deficit. Mind you, that is 3.18% of our salary expenditure, $5 million, okay? I implore everybody to go to transparentcalifornia.com. Mind you, these numbers are from 2023, okay? So I wouldn't be surprised to see an increase since. And I've actually just recently learned that we have a new city attorney since Barry DeWalt retired, and that is Christian Curtis here. So we'll start with Barry DeWalt in 2023, and I'm guessing Christian is close to the same ballpark. Took home over $352,000 in total. If you include benefits and pension, add another $130,000 a year to that. Just 17,000 shy, mind you, of $500,000. I do not have the new attorney's salary on hand, but I am guessing it's in the same ballpark. Now, our taxes seem to be fond of people named Barry, because Barry Tippin, hi Barry, our city manager, you took home in 2023 a total pay of $305,000 in 24, actually, $304,000, right? With benefits and pension, add another 50% of your income to that, looking at a whopping $458,532. That's a whole lot of money, Barry. Let's start close to home by comparing this to our neighbors in Chico with a population of 107,000 versus our 92. Their city manager, Mark Sorensen, took home a total pay of $213,000 with pension and benefits, $340,000 in 2023. meaning we paid $120,000 more for Barry and Reddy than Chico paid for Mark. Why? We're not done here either. Vallejo, population of 125,000. Familiar with Six Flags? Probably a lot of revenue there, I'm guessing, right? Well, Barry took in 2023, $33,000 more.
Nope. Oh, is that the end of the clip?
I didn't think it was.
City manager. Why, Barry?
Well, I guess it is now.
I don't know why it's clipping.
Oceanside, California, population of 170,000.
Oh, we're getting skips for some reason.
Double R's almost. Barry, you made 40,000 more that year. Santa Rosa, 175,000. Barry made 54,000. Modesto, 220,000. Barry made 42,000 more. Chula Vista, the second most populous city in San Diego metropolitan area, 275,000 people. You made $76,000 more than their city manager that year. Why, Barry? Why? What have you done? Please show us here. Let us all remind everybody as well. The president of the United States base salary is $400,000. You're doing more for the city of Reading than the president of the United States for this country.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
I don't think Jack Munns appreciated him a bit, but, you know, Reading needs to pass a sales tax because they have cut to the bone, and they just don't have any money to fix our roads, our infrastructure, or anything else.
Well, I've talked about this before, and I actually pissed off one of our listeners. I didn't mean to, but this is an example. Government is terrible. It's horrible. It doesn't produce anything. It takes everything, and then they reaward themselves. And I think they should outlaw the ability for the government employees to even be unionized, because they unionize, and then the union supports the politicians who are going to give them more money. I think that employees of the government should not, period. There is no need. The protections are there. We have all the laws in place. But this is an example of, and this goes back to Emperor Mike Warren. When Mike Warren was here, that's when the salary started going crazy.
Well, he came here after he bankrupted Benicia.
What I'm saying is he came here, and I think this is like 20 years ago almost, he was making $250,000 base salary, and then with all of his cars and benefits, he was up around $400,000. He was making almost as much as President of the United States.
You've got to remember, they pay taxes too.
Yes.
But when you take into consideration, now let's just round it off to even numbers.
Please.
Say Mike Warren's making $100,000.
Yes.
Okay, that comes from the deficit, that's spending. And he pays $30,000 taxes. Well, he still cost us $70,000. He hasn't produced a damn thing. He did bring us Big League Dreams and Stillwater Business Park. You know what successes they've been.
Oh, and then, of course, we got the Sundial Bridge, who has probably qualifiably the worst concrete pour ever on the North Shore that was immediately flaking as soon as it was done, because he wanted that during his thing to be part of that whole process.
He wanted a plaque up there.
Yes, he did.
Just like Barry wants a plaque down at the Civic Center when they get done stealing that property from us and redeveloping it.
This is just crazy that we have these politicians, and a lot of the employees make, I mean, it's not unusual for a lot of the employees to be making six figures. I mean, that's way more than the private sector. It was never meant to be that way. If you were with the government,
Jerry Brown.
Yeah, exactly. It was never meant to be that you made a lot of money working for the government, but you had a secure job and a decent retirement. Now, everybody's trying to get into the government because it pays so dang well.
Hey, we're going to move on a little bit, but I do have some more clips from the city of Reading that are very interesting. What I want to bring up now is Shasta Anon. They put out, if you go to ShastaAnon.com, they put out the history of people of around town. They put out Tom Toller, Meet Tom Toller, and it comes from, you know, usually as far back as they can possibly go. They did one on Annalisa Pierce.
Yes.
And it's not real complimentary to her, in my opinion. Some people like it. But she had a reply to him. I'm going to read it to you. Never trust an anonymous journalist. Last week, someone in local leadership reached out to ask about an anonymous video that's being shared online about me, my family, and Shasta Scout. I just saw this, they say. Is it true? People ask me. The short answer is that parts are true, while other parts are either untrue or misleading, just like most gossip. What you should tell anyone who asks about the video, I told this local leader, is that they should know better than to believe the words of an anonymous journalist. More on this topic to come. Stay tuned. Well, you know, you should take into consideration Annalisa Pierce. She stands there. She doesn't bow her head and even act like she's praying at the invocations at the meetings she goes to.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Pledge of Allegiance, she stands there. I've nicknamed her the Penguin with her hands down to her side. She prints her journalism, she calls it, and she doesn't correct herself when she's wrong. I pointed out how we'd save money by getting rid of Dominion machines and getting the heart machines, and she claimed that wasn't true, and it was true. And I have to say, probably she filed a complaint against Shasta Anon some outfit that she is involved with that used a couple pictures, and they took it off YouTube because of copyright infringements.
Yep.
They took the pictures out, and it's back up. So if you want to listen and hear Annalisa Pierce's history, just go to ShastaAnon.com and listen to it. And there's quite a few other interesting videos for you to watch that will open your eyes. You know, and one point we're going to get to later is Bethel. She came to Reading for Bethel.
Hmm.
Numerous other people have come to Reading from Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
I just went to a Building Bridges forum put on by United Way.
Yeah.
And it was, to me, basically a liberal love fest.
Well, United Way.
And the majority of them came from Bethel.
I believe that.
Bethel claims that, the two top preachers there, they're Republicans, they're conservatives. But everybody they bring to town is usually a liberal.
Yes.
And, you know, I think Bethel has been more of a detriment to our community than it has been an asset. Grant you, they spend a lot of money. The people are intelligent. They're bright. They bring money to Reading.
Yep.
But we're evolving from a conservative county to a liberal county.
Well, I've said this on our show before, Nick, and I even said it on Carl's when he lets me on his show, is we are, by registration, a 2-to-1 conservative area, 2-to-1 Republican over Democrat.
Let me ask you something.
And how in the heck is our city council and our board of supervisors, at many times, liberal when we have a 2-to-1 advantage? That doesn't make sense to me.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
How come he lets you on his show and not me?
Well, first off, you're the moron who got me onto the show. You may not remember this.
You concede to him. I don't. He doesn't like somebody that'll stand up and argue with him.
Because I completely kowtow. No, the story is, folks, is so I was on with Nick here the first, 4 or 5 months on the show, and him and Carl got bantering about the fact that Carl only has liberals on his program, and Nick says, we need to get a conservative voice on your show. And so Nick played my manager and negotiated me being on Carl's show, and for some reason Carl likes me more than Nick, so I get asked back every month until he doesn't ask me back. And so it was you, as you point the finger at me, sir, that actually got me on the show. Your fault.
Carl likes people that agree with him.
Well, and that's what I do. I'm just a yes man. That's all I do.
So let's get back to Building Bridges. You know, one thing that came to mind when I processed this whole meeting is I remember the phrase, don't Californiaize Oregon.
Yep, or Idaho.
And I remember when probably 30, 40 years ago, you went to Oregon with California plates and you weren't welcome. Well, I see the liberals from the Bay Area. Silverstein would be one of them, Dana Silverstein. I think she was from around here. They jumped over Shasta County and the North State because we were known as Poverty Flats.
Yep.
And they went up there and they turned it all liberal. Now they're coming to Poverty Flats. And they're trying to turn us liberal. And they're going to do it. You watch and see. But there was probably 16, 17 people at this.
The United Way thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Building Bridges. Three conservatives.
Ah.
And
we were adequately represented.
Well, there was a fellow from the district attorney's office, a young guy, very well spoken, very nice guy, and he brought up that they're not getting paid enough.
Okay.
As with a public defender that was there. She was a nice gal, and she compared, you know, she spends half her salary for a house payment.
Yep.
And they compare about how much they make, would be making down in Sacramento.
Move.
Well,
go.
Well, that's my idea, but they're not willing to do that.
Go as fast as you can. Don't let the door hit you in the ass, because the house here that's 400 is 650 there. So go. Head on out and then see if you really actually make more money, with air quotes, more income.
So the gist of the conversation,
please,
went on, how could we attract more professionals to Reading? What's holding us back? Well, one gal, she got up there and she said, she moved to Shasta County 17 years ago, and there were only two good restaurants, and I wouldn't really consider these good, in the Reading area. And now we've got quite a few, although they're not all that good. And I'm thinking, well, why don't you move back to where you came from if that's what you're after, you know?
Yeah.
The restaurants were fine for me. And we need to bring more professionals, doctors, lawyers. And why won't they locate here? Well, because we're just not quite sophisticated enough is the gist of the whole thing to me.
Yeah.
And what we need is a law school. We need a college.
Because we need more lawyers.
And we need more liberals.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. We need more lawyers.
Yes. And so we went on, and I didn't say too much.
Shut up.
And this guy... This guy sitting next to me, let's call him Dave. He's sitting next to me. He talks quiet. You've got to be leery of those liberals that talk quiet. He says, Shasta County missed a golden opportunity.
Uh-oh.
When they had the fires in Los Angeles, we should have sent a couple representatives down there to those people that were going to get cashed out on their houses and convinced them to move to Shasta County. And I said, so you're saying the way we're going to solve all of Shasta County's problems, import more liberals. He didn't like that. Then he went on about the tax base. Reading, Shasta County pays the lowest taxes of anywhere in the state, 7.25. So he's going to be behind that push to get us another 1 cent sales tax.
I'm shaking my head, Nick. It's people like this that can reproduce and vote that are destroying. They're stage 4 cancers to the Western society. They don't understand. You can't tax your way to prosperity. That's why, you know, Reading having a 7.25 compared to the rest of the state, maybe.
Well, you know.
Maybe that's a benefit.
They don't like where they're at, so they move here, and the first thing they want to do is make us where they move from. That happened up in Bannon, Oregon. A friend of mine, Earl, that lives up there, he's been up there for quite a few years. He said these people from down in the Bay Area, Los Angeles area, moved up there, got on the city council, the planning commission. They got rid of the commercial fish deal down on the wharf, and they put boutiques in and passed a bunch of dumbass warrants, ordinances, and then they moved back where they came from.
Yep. Yep. They destroyed where they're at. And then it's such a failure as a stage 4 cancer. Liberalism spreads and it infects everything. And they go to these different places that are not necessarily liberal. Then they infect it and destroy it. And then now they don't like where they live because it's not the safe environment they move to. And they leave again. And yeah, that's a pretty common trait right there.
And then Christian Gardner shows up with his entourage.
Oh yeah?
Well, he had 3 or 4 people with him. You remember he was the big cheese behind Common Grounds here.
Yep.
And you wouldn't know it was the same person. He made a couple of decent comments.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you ought to go to a news cafe, that other liberal rag that's run by Donnie Chamberlain, and read his comments on there. You wouldn't know it's the same person.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. They can say whatever they want, throw poo at the fan, and then they walk away, and then they say, oh, I never said that. And the evidence is overwhelming that they had said something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, Dave, do we need to go to break right now? I see it's 8:30. Yep. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Now, that's the
thing, Nick, is they
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Experience Glowing Wild and Illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. We'd just like to thank Reading Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Driver.
Right there, Nick. That's
hey, you
going
know
old
what?
School.
Those limousine drivers, I wonder if they can, you know, not pay attention to what's going on in the back. How about some of them private planes?
Oof. Yeah, the five mile high club, I'm sure, is a regular theme up there.
Well, listen, we've got a clip coming up. I hope we're ready for it. It's Pete. What's his last name?
Hegseth.
He is going to clue us in about what's going on with Donald Trump and the Panama Canal. Are we ready? Yes. Okay. Well, I guess we're not ready.
We just got back to Panama last night. We were at the Panama Canal with their SOFCOM commander ships, F-18s, troops, and signed a couple of historic deals. One which is with the Panama Canal Authority, a framework for U.S. vessels first and free through the Panama Canal.
Right.
And then also a memorandum of understanding with their security minister for the presence of U.S. troops. Fort Sherman is an old U.S. base there, as well as their naval station and air station, jointly with Panama to secure the Panama Canal from Chinese influence. That's something you said we're taking back the canal. China's had too much influence. Obama and others let them creep in. We, along with Panama, are pushing them out, sir. And so we had a very successful trip there. President Molino sends his regards, very complimentary of the U.S. As he's a great ally, and I think they want the communist Chinese out. And with our troops there partnering with their forces, we've got a chance to push them all the way out, sir.
We've moved a lot of troops to Panama and filled up some areas that we used to have, and we didn't have any longer, but we have them now. And I think it's in very good control. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Pete.
Okay, we're going to stop and talk a little bit more and continue on with that clip. We're taking back our canal. We own that canal. We built it, and Carter sold it for what, a dollar?
A dollar.
And,
we lost 39,000 Americans making
that. I found this. This was Donald Trump does a round table. Everyone that's a head of a department in his administration spoke. And they spoke about what they were doing, and they gave Donald credit all the credit for it. You never saw anything like that with any other president, as far as I'm concerned.
No. Well, I mean, no, actually, you're wrong. And
no, I'm not.
Yes, you
no,
are.
No, I'm not.
You've never seen it where they give credit to the president. You've always seen the president's taking credit for it. So if these guys are actually saying, hey, this is because of your, that's a different take. I will give you that. But normally the president, oh, I'm a great guy. I did this. And it's like, no, you had nothing to do with it. So they, usually the president is sitting there beating his chest saying how great he is.
And they're saying, thanks to your leadership, Donald Trump, we have our canal back. Let's go to the next clip. It's quite interesting.
I have an end time for that, but not a start time.
Oh.
Well, you just continue on from where it was.
Relationships are, it's like they're friends. They're really, the relationships are very strong, really good, really strong. And these meetings are very good. And I think, you know, I don't believe there's any other president that allowed the press to come into a meeting such as this. These are very sacred meetings. These are very private meetings. But we have nothing to hide. And I think it's good. I think it's a good, we want to be, a word you like to use, Jeff, is transparent. So we want to be transparent, and we'll do that by starting with Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Yes, Mr. President, we just got back from Panama last night. We were at the
Panama Let's cut it. We're starting over again.
Yeah, we don't need to say this again.
Stop. Okay, so let's go on. Listen. Joanna, well, not Joanna.
Sorry.
Laura Hobbs.
Numbers.
That's okay. Laura Hobbs is having a meeting every Saturday. I think it starts at 2:30 and ends at 4:30 at the library down here at the community room. She has started a group that is called the Shasta County Election Task Force. Yesterday, they started showing fingerprints of fraud. If you go put that in your search engine, fingerprints of fraud, the movie, it explains to you what happened with our elections in layman's terms that you can understand.
Yeah. I thought 2000 Mules did a pretty good job on that, too.
Yes, yes, there's a few of them out, but this guy, and I don't remember his name, he's referred to as the raccoon, and he hasn't come across very well, but this one he comes across, he articulates himself very well and explains how they stole votes,
mm-hmm.
brought people that hadn't voted the last time, put them in the machine and voted, and then took them back out, and how they voted. Okay, so... Here, I just did a couple of things. Laura has a 28 points here on why we need a new RV. And I'm going to read a few of them. Joanna was interviewed on a podcast called When Observation Becomes an Obstacle, detailing how she wants to curtail election observations. Joanna served on an advisory board of Center for Tech and Civic Life, a far left leaning NGO, non-government organization founded by extremist David Becker. That's the same thing that Kathy Darling Allen was doing.
Yeah.
Going to these left leaning things. Now, I went to the ROV's office down there where they were counting votes. I went there three times. I didn't spend more than 5 minutes there each time. And it was intimidating. They had a big metal fence up when you walked in.
Yeah.
Like you'd expect in a third world country. You're not going to get through here and see what we do.
Yep.
Then you had to sign in and go upstairs. And they had one little window where you could see what one of the four counters were doing.
Well, what, you don't need to see the other three. Hello.
What I would compare it to is a school.
Yeah.
Do you remember how school doors would have a window in the middle, 6 inches wide and a foot tall?
Yeah.
And you could look through that and see what's going on in the classroom.
And make faces at your best friend.
That's about what it amounted to.
Yeah. I actually was an observer up in Shingletucky, and it was held at the firehouse up there just past Shingletown. And I did an afternoon, heck, did I do 2 hours, 3 hours? And the whole time I was there, it was only like three people that voted. But I had to sit there, couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't be close. I couldn't see what they're doing. All I could do is watch the person come in, give their information, vote, give it back, and go. And then
did you feel like it was a transparent,
I will give credit where credit's due. I mean, when the thing was done, I mean, from what I could tell on the protocols, when it was done, I stayed for the extra hour as they shut the entire thing down. And there was three people that were constantly cross-checking each other. And, okay, I've got this, I've got that, I've got the, and they would check each other. And I got to say, that was pretty impressive.
Where'd the ballots go? Where'd
they get were in a sealed box. So they put them in a box, and I think, if I remember correctly, they sealed it with something.
From
tape.
There, you didn't see happened to the ballot.
They had a guy that comes pick it up, and I believe he was accompanied by a public service officer from the sheriff's department. So I did watch the three or four people that voted. From a distance, not that it was a huge exciting thing, but then when it was over, watching them take the thing down and secure the votes, I will give the group in Shingletown their due. They seem to have done a pretty good job, in my opinion. So there you go.
At the 11th hour during the March 24 election, she found 500 ballots that were previously unaccounted for. She called these ballots voided ballots. We later found out that the voided ballots or when someone is found ineligible to vote, or when a duplicate ballot is sent out to the original and must be voided. In neither case should the voided ballots be counted. These 500 ballots were counted.
Oh.
You know, and my experience, I talked to two people that went down to vote and somebody had already voted for them. And they went ahead and filled it out and they called later. And the first ballot was counted, not the one they sent in.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. And then, you know, you said it on the air, you actually received two ballots sent to your house.
Here's another one. The refusal to disclose public records has denied the public essential information necessary to assess the integrity of the elections.
Well, you know, it makes me think of a Plato quote right now, because it's kind of, people are like, well, the election's over, move on.
Hey, you know, Plato died a long time ago. We're hearing a Doug Jenke quote right now.
Well, I'm going to give it a quote
to
Plato.
The new philosopher.
Well, you know, it's funny, listening to our show, you're probably thinking, well, the election's over, move on. But here's something I came across. If you do not take an interest in the affairs of your government, then you are doomed to live under the rule of fools. So that's it right there. Is if you're not, you know, I tell people when we talk politics and they're like, well, I'm not into it. If you're not into government, government is into you. You need to pay attention. The stuff that is affecting our country right now, the crime, the homelessness, the illegal immigration, the inflation, it's government and it's us. And I take the bullet as a conservative guy, not Republican conservative. We just try to live our lives, and so we tend to not be as engaged as the liberals, and we are living under rules of fools. So there you go. Now, that's why talking about this election right now is so important, is it's to stop the future from being dictated.
Okay, she decided to perform a full hand count on a race that was decided by 50 votes, but declined to perform a full recount on a race that was decided by 14 votes.
Well, you know, that goes back again to going to the counting by hand and everything else. When there is a challenge to an outcome to the election, they check it by voting or counting by hand. Why is, if it's okay to double check a machine by hand, why don't we just use hand counting from the get-go? If it's considered valid.
It's against the state law.
Well, I'm saying, but if it's considered valid enough to check a challenged election result by voting or checking by hand count, why don't we just do hand count from the get-go? That's just too common sense, I think.
Well, what I'd like to say is this. I supported Joanna when Tom Toler was appointed.
Yes.
Actually, I supported Clint Curtis. But.
I still do.
I thought in my opinion, Joanna was a very honest, sincere person. So as it turns out, Tom Toler didn't know what was going on, and Joanna ran this last election.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody can agree on that.
Yeah.
We're not happy with the way the last election was run.
Yep.
That was Joanna's tryout. If she would have been transparent, and you know, when somebody says, "How's this work?" Take them by the hand and show them, instead of, you know, hiding and closing the door on them and don't ask questions. If she would have been open and transparent, and this is what's going on, and I can explain it to you, she wouldn't be getting the pushback she's getting right now.
Well,
I do not recommend her as the new ROV to be appointed.
Well, Nick, think about this. Her entire upbringing in the system, she's been working there for a number of years, was under Kathy. She learned really well how to game the system.
But she had the opportunity to show that she's not going to be like that. I'm not going to game the system. I'm going to make honest elections. And, you know, I don't feel like she did that.
You're not going to change the Tiger Stripes.
I'm following the state's laws. If you don't like it, get out of here.
Well, you're not going to change the Tiger Stripes. So she had been groomed by Kathy to run crooked elections. That's what she knows. So she did very well.
Yes, and that's what you're going to get if you insist on appointing her as the next ROV, because she'll be a shoe-in to win the election in 2 years. This way, we've got 2 years to get somebody new in there. I hope they'll get somebody from out of town. There's rumors around that Patrick Jones might be our new ROV, and he would probably do a good job, but I think we need to get somebody from out of the area that isn't so familiar with what our attitude is. You know, you've got the lefties over here. Oh, everything's great. Just don't cut off our food stamps. And then you've got the righties over here saying, we just want honest, transparent elections. That's
yep.
all we want.
Yep.
And I saw the same thing with Barack Obama when he was elected. Okay, he won. Let's give him a shot.
Yeah.
We gave him the wrong kind of shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Our country's still paying for the hangover of Mr. Barack Obama, Mr. Barry.
So every Saturday at 2:30, Laura Hobbs and her new organization, Shasta County Election Task Force, they're not a nonprofit yet. I think they're going to be. If you're curious, they can answer all your questions. They're nice. You're not going into a hostile environment. I would encourage you to get involved, and this would be a good way to do it.
Well, haven't you ever seen those videos or interviews when liberals will go to conservative meetings or rallies, and they come back after, and like, that was totally not what I expected. And like, well, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. And they're like, they were friendly, they were nice, it was positive. But then you see where conservatives go into a liberal den, and they're just eaten alive. They're just stinking hammered. So that's the difference. So I'm sure if you go to Laura saying she'll be respectful, whether you agree with her or not, there will be a level of modicum that she will bring to it.
So I came up with a thought.
Shut up.
Yeah, and don't you try and steal it again. You know, I went to the Tea Party. The first time I went to the Tea Party, somebody called me and said, you should go down there to Bonnyview. Paul Preston's speaking tonight. I said, who's Paul Preston? Oh, he's on the radio. I never listened to the radio. Well, go down there. So I went down there, and I liked what he had to say. He was all for the state of Jefferson. So I kept going to the meetings. And after about 6 months, I never could figure out what the Tea Party stands for. So I went up to one of the old-timers, old Round Mountain Bob. He looks like he's no stranger to a cocktail, but anyway, I says, hey, Round Mountain, what's the skinny, man? I've been coming here for 6 months, and I don't know what we stand for. What does the Tea Party stand for? Fiscal responsibility, smaller government, following the Constitution. You know what that is? That's MAGA.
Yeah. Well, yes.
MAGA is the new grown-up Tea Party, in my opinion.
Well, with a leader that is instituting some of that, I don't necessarily agree that we're doing it very well right now. I mean, since you brought it up, we'll go down this rabbit hole.
No, I don't want to.
Yes.
I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
Leave that rabbit hole alone.
No.
I'm trying to get a hold of Trump to see if he hasn't got a place for Round Mountain Bob in his administration.
If you talk to Donnie, you tell him.
Donnie Greenberg?
No. Donnie T. Mr. Mega.
Okay, go ahead. You're going to shove it down my throat.
I'm going to, because I'm not going to give this guy a free pass, because that's what liberals do. They don't look in the mirror and say, hey, this is what's going on. Is this whole heap, we're going to have fiscal conservatives, we're going to have this. It's a load of crap. It's a complete load of crap. For every dollar that Doge apparently, quote unquote, finds, they add two to the budget and deficit. The rhinos, the Republicans, and I think Trump has surrounded himself again with some piranhas, they have raised the debt ceiling by $4 trillion. If you're really a fiscal conservative, you don't do that. You say, we have a budget, we need to stay under that. They actually added a budget ceiling of $4 trillion. They're adding more money than Elon and his crew can save.
If I may be so bold as to interrupt you for a second, they're working on Joe Biden's budget.
I get that, but they're adding more to it.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
I'm saying they're adding more to it. And so if you're going to say that Tea Party is about fiscal conservatism, this president is not going to be that guy. Now, I'm hopeful, but I mean, the guy that he's relying on to do it, just so you know, I want to make point of this.
Are you angry because you didn't vote for Kamala Harris?
I'm really angry. But here's an example of why I'm skeptical. Scott Bessent is Trump's economic guru, whatever we want to call him. Does anybody know, and is they aware, that he was George Soros' chief information officer for 9 years? 9 years he worked for the most evil man in the history of probably the Americas, and he's now Trump's right-hand man. Do we think maybe there's some residual there? So maybe Trump's got keep your friends close, your enemies closer, but I'm skeptical that the Tea Party fiscal conservatism is in play right now. I think we're going to end up with larger debts than we had before. So I like the Tea Party. I like your enthusiasm, and I'm with you. I just don't see it actually happening under this president. There you go.
So what's the answer?
Cut the budget. Cut the things. Cut the fat. City of Reading.
They're trying to do that. Look at these idiots protesting.
Well, no.
1,200 of them down here, and they don't even know what they're protesting for, but they're protesting.
Well, they're the same idiots that are sitting there burning Teslas and breaking windows and, you know, shooting at
they're just trying to work up some work for,
there you go,
for their nephews. You know, he works down at the Tesla glass replacement place.
Yeah. No, the thing is, you go to one of these liberal rallies and you ask them what's going on. They have no clue. They're just there because somebody's told them to go. There's going to be a protest. That's been proven time and again, going back to BLM, Antifa. They've interviewed people who are there and like, what are you guys protesting? We don't really know. Go to a conservative thing, and the conservatives will tell them, this is what we're protesting, this is why we're here, blah, 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 blah. So there was the thing, Nick, is if we're going to be Tea Party-ish, MAGA, let's act that way. Let's do what we say we're going to do, and that's not what we're doing.
Dave, do you suppose we could skip up to number four, clip number four? Give me the thumbs up when you're ready. Maybe I can see you through the glare. There's been some cat fights at the City of Reading meetings.
Yes.
And they're just hilarious.
Well, let's hear them.
Well, can we do it?
Also,
here we go.
To be completely honest, and this doesn't routinely matter to me because I do not care where it is that somebody attends church. Joshua Johnson is the first person who Mayor Munns has put forward who hasn't had something like pastor in their bio. Mr. Nance does not have that, but I am shocked, and I would love to push on whether or not you have ever met Mr. Nance.
I have no idea who Mr. Nance. If he walked in here right now, I wouldn't even know who he is. Are you serious?
Also, did you not publicly say last year that during the Aaron Hatch situation, which, by the way, I just for clarity and for the record, I did not say who it is that the mayor has to pick and that my issue is the balance. But did you not publicly say, because there are multiple members, I believe, in the audience as well as here, that Aaron Hatch, if you had your way, would never sit on Planning Commission ever again?
No, I never said that. I didn't have to say that. The question that was at hand last year was the comments that he said, and I said, I think that there should be a response to that, and there should be something that we do. No, I never said that.
Oh. Okay.
Not only did I not say that, I've never met, I have no idea who this guy Blake is, I've never met him.
Council Member DeNuca.
Oh, with all due respect to Council Member Audette, you have said that to me personally, that Aaron Hatch would never sit on the...
I've never talked to you about Aaron Hatch.
Okay, that's all right.
I have never talked to you about Aaron
Hatch.
That's
all right. It's okay. That's fine. Sorry.
Where were we? When did that happen?
That's fine.
When did that ever happen, Paul?
That's I said just with all due respect, maybe you do not remember it. That is fine, and it's completely all right. But I'll move on from there.
I like it.
I've seen about three or four of these cat fights.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, they're hilarious.
I've met Mr. Danuka in person once, and I really liked him. I think that
he's a very nice person.
Yeah, I think that he's there for the right reasons and hopefully can implement some of the right stuff.
He's trying to get a college for doctors here in Northern California in the Redding area. Excuse me. Tanessa Ardette is the one that made the big deal about Kiss Me, the adult boutique over here.
Yeah.
And I went in and talked to the gal, and I looked at it. It's a high-end lingerie shop, very few toys that degenerates like to play with, and a pole dance studio that's about three times the size of your bathroom.
Yeah.
Hidden.
Yeah.
And I went back and talked to the gal, and she has agreed to go halves with me on a $100 gift certificate. I picked out a nice teddy, I think, that Tanessa would look good in, and they're going to throw in a pole dancing lesson for her. Maybe she ought to get up with the times.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Tanessa has absolutely zero credibility. None. I'm just saying it publicly on the radio, none. Because when that whole fiasco happened with the Quisto, where, who was the?
Mark Mazzano.
And it was the whole mayorship, and tradition was the next in line was going to be the next one to move forward, and that was supposed to be Mr. Mazzano. And Tanessa was going to run for state assembly, and in her application before it became public, she put that she was the mayor of Redding. And when questioned about it, she said she didn't do that. And yet the form clearly stated that she stated she was the mayor of Redding. And with the two people on her pocket at the time, it was, Julie and the other one. But she denied it the whole time, and there was proof that she did it. And so you can't, she just has a habit of saying things just to be convenient. She's a good politician.
Getting back to what started all this is Munns wants to get rid of Hatch and that other gal and put in Josh Johnson and some other guy, Barry something, on the planning commission.
Yeah.
You know, the voters have turned down Josh Johnson twice. He's run for city council. It's obvious we don't want him representing us, but this is the first shot of taking over the civic auditorium.
Yep.
And giving it to, four builders that want to put, as Carl Bott would say, the hook that's going to bring people off the, Interstate 5 and make them come and spend their money in Redding. Just like Turtle Bay, just like the Sundial Bridge.
Well, speaking of Mr. Bott, didn't he just have a guest? Wasn't it the city councilman that they said they were signing a 15-year lease with two 10-year options?
I think it's 25 with two 10-year options.
Okay, yeah, 25.
It's not signed yet.
Oh, it's not?
It's just been sent from the city to the Cowboys now.
So that would really lock that up for 50 years, at least.
Well,
put that to rest.
The posse grounds part.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to lock up the rest. But they've got visions, in my opinion, of taking that all the way down to the Cypress Street Bridge, and they're going to tell Chris Koutras what he can do with his property.
They can't get rid of Aquagolf. Aquagolf's too important to the city.
Well.
That's where I go to swing.
Oh, have you gone to Shasta Golf Simulators?
No.
You should try that. It's over by Dairy Queen.
Okay.
And there you, it's $40 an hour, and you hit your ball to a screen, and it analyzes where your shot would go and how you correct your swing and that kind of stuff.
You're making a very bold assumption that I actually want to correct my swing. I just like hitting the ball as hard as I can.
And seeing how much tufts of turf you can kick up.
I smell the rubber when you hit that AstroTurf.
But anyway, this is, they're going to take it. I think Munns is all in for that.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, this is Bethel. In fact, we've got three Bethels up there. I'm sure Erin Reisner is a Bethelite.
Yeah.
I know she's a Turtle Bayite.
Yeah.
And they know what's best for us. They don't really care how we feel about it. In my opinion.
Well, fortunately, as we come near the end of the show, is any process that's going to happen is going to take years. So even if they were to try and make some swing for the fence, it's going to be reviewed and it's going to be able to be put in front of the voters, I'm sure. So they can continue trying to backdoor everybody, but I don't think it will be successful at the end of the day.
Maybe Munns can sign an executive order. We could start executive orders for Redding and Shasta County.
And then maybe Joe Biden can come in and override them all.
There you go. Get an automatic pin.
There you go. Every time there's a whole new leadership, they just change everything.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the way it goes. Good. Nick, it's 9 o'clock. It's been a good show.
Good show today. I enjoyed myself.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks we'll be here.
Daddy stumbled in, all pale and weak. Set a woman up the block. Just gave birth to a geek. Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope. This one's a pencil neck. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow...
The Newsroom Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.